It's Thursday, January 21st, 2016, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 133, A Big 2D Side-Scrolling Boss Fighter Guy. Runtime for this episode is 43 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that is not 6 years old. My name is Jeremy.
Although we have hit over a decade of playing video games, not for this podcast. I'm Tyler.
I don't know about you, but I haven't spent a decade playing video games.
Have you not? I mean, not continuously, clearly. You'd be dead.
Actually, that does raise the question of how many hours have I sunk of my life into video games?
So I often think I would be depressed to know that number, but then I'm like, no, that's time well spent. So
I think the true answer is ever since I got a job, the answer is not enough.
Yeah, that's a chronic condition. Work.
Yeah, that status condition doesn't go away very easily. You can't just go to the Pokemon Center or call your dad.
Phoenix Suns are expensive.
Do you need a Phoenix Down to revive your party member's social life?
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. We're gamers. We don't have social life. Gaming life, then.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a social life. No, I didn't have a social life. Never mind. So,
see, I know of what a social life is based on the dictionary.
I had a social life that I kidnapped and kept in my basement.
I wondered about them.
That's disturbingly accurate.
You know, she was into it. It was fine. If she really wanted to say the safe word, she would have gotten the gag out.
Wait, so on the ping pong table or?
Well, you put your things away when guests are coming.
Okay, that's true.
All right, so I don't know how to transition away from that.
How about we reset?
So what's your fetish, Tyler? What have you been playing?
I don't think I want to know the answer to that question.
So, actually, speaking of sinking way too much time into games, I've been playing a lot of Bravely Default. I'm now fighting dragons.
Oh, yeah, to get the dragon orbs to get into the castle?
Yep. I currently have Ninja Bell, and pretty much my entire party is dead, and he sits there and just ninja counterattacks things to death.
Oh, yeah, I think that's how I dealt with the dragons, too. Well, did you get the Elementalist class? I don't think that's what it's called. The one that's the doctor guy.
Yeah, the White Mage class.
Yeah.
Is nice, but I have to use so many BP to continuously, like, remove status ailment, or I guess weaknesses from people.
Okay.
Or give them the absorb element thing that
can be problematic, especially if you don't have someone to give them extra BP.
So my general strategy for boss fights that I don't feel like managing my party is let Rena Bell just sit there and counterattack everyone.
You could give everybody transience and then...
Yeah, and the problem, you only counterattack with transience if you're the only one targeted by a physical attack, or by the attack that you dodge. So if it's a group attack, you'll all dodge it, and then none of you will counterattack.
But then you also give him the Red Mage one that gives you an extra BP every time you dodge an attack.
That's actually a really good one, and then you can poke them in the face. I hadn't
thought
about
you that. Can Brave reapply the dodge ability and do something else.
Yeah, that's actually a good strategy. But I've taken out two of the dragons in this way so far. I basically just wait until he's almost dead, because for some reason I can't get Rena Bell to know any other useful skills. So, miscellaneous.
Yeah, I had trouble figuring out what to do with Ringabel. Tiz was my tank, Anius was my healer, Adia was physical damage, Ringabel dabbled.
Really? So, actually, Adia is my tank, and mostly with counterattacks from Swordmaster.
I mean, that makes just as much sense as Tiz.
And Tiz is
I just don't like seeing girls get punched.
Oh, well, that's fair. I mean, she's a badass, though. She takes one damage from, like, everything, so... Tiz, on the other hand, is Death Archer. He recently learned the thing that gives you an additional damage boost if all of your attacks hit.
Yeah.
And he's using a bow and also has a Hawkeye ability, so basically he's doing like 5,000 per round right now on a normal attack, so.
But only one target.
Yeah, only to one target at a time. I don't have Dark Knight Death Novas yet, so. Unfortunately, alternate Rena Bell is still alive, so. But the reason I mentioned this in relation to spending too much time is like, I don't know, I feel like I've spent like maybe 25 hours or something, 48.
Yeah, I wonder if the clock is actually right in that game, because I don't feel like I played that game for 120 hours last year, but that sure says I did, doesn't it?
Well, that's kind of what I thought. I'm like, There's no way I have played this for 48 hours. Like, maybe it counts while it's in sleep mode or something?
No, but... it totally counts that, so.
Okay. Because that... although I've had it in
Did
sleep
your village
mode a
finish
lo-
yet?
Oh, yeah, no, it's been done for
All
a
the
long
playtime
time.
Counters count as when you, how long you've had the program open.
Yeah, but, like, it's asleep, so, and most of the games don't keep track of time spent asleep, so, I don't know. So, lots of Bravely Default. It's a fun game. I also rediscovered Smash recently. I'm like, hey.
When did you lose this technology? When was this Dark Age? When did the Islams have to reinvent Giamma Brothers?
Super Giamma Brothers.
It was certainly not since New Year's.
Well, no, I actually hadn't played Smash for a while before we played that one night, and then I proceeded to not play it for a long time since. But I'm like, hey, I should play this game again, and started another Iron Man challenge, what I was calling the Zero Challenge earlier. Other people adopted and are now calling an Iron Man, which is win a battle with every character in order without losing.
I'm partial to War Machine, but continue.
Did you guys ever see that skit where they're like, Tony, why don't you just make awesome suits for all of us? And it's like, you need me on the team. And like War Machine just comes in and is like, guys, I got suits for everyone. And they just go out and is like, you guys, you'll see, you need me. And he's like watching them on the news, like just completely kicking ass and stuff. And he's like, at least I still got you, Pepper.
Remember Iron Man 3, where he had an army of Iron Man suits and then just blew them up for no reason because that movie doesn't make any sense?
No, yes. I don't, because I never saw that movie, but I do know that that happens, so.
I do. It's bad.
And then they put the President in War Machine armor.
Is it President Stark?
No, the Vice President is trying to kill the President and blame Iron Man for it, so he becomes the President. Hail Hydra. Oh, no, it's AIM in that, not Hydra.
Wait, what?
AIM. They're another evil organization. Okay. You know MODOK?
Yes.
He's part of AIM.
Okay.
MODOK isn't in Iron Man 3, though, or I would not be talking about how bad it was.
Yeah, so that and Splatoon occasionally. I switch out my gear and I find I'm having a lot more fun with it now, so.
That's good. I got that game. I should play it.
You should. We should, like...
I'm still playing Guys. Is my TV fixed yet? We don't know. We haven't looked at it. Why not? I gave it to you to look at and fix.
Like, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
I want to say.
Now. Anyway, anything else?
No, nothing of any particular import.
Zach, what have you imported?
Imported nothing.
Belgium beers? Belgium
no.
waffles?
No.
Belgium chocolate? Belgium?
Riot points because they're cheap?
Yeah.
Russian brides?
No, nothing of the sort. I've been playing a lot of League of Legends because the new ranked season, which I'm totally planning on actually participating in more this season, starts...
Good luck.
Well, actually, the week this podcast is going to drop. It's next week for when we're recording this. Actually, next Thursday.
Let's date this more. Alan Rickman died today.
Who the heck is Alan Rickman?
He was in Galaxy Quest and Die Hard and Harry Potter.
And is Snape.
Oh, that explains that post I saw on the board earlier today.
Yeah, it took me a moment to realize who he was, too. All my friends are super sad about it, and I don't really give a crap when actors die, so.
Tyler, I don't know who actors are when they die.
Yeah, me neither. So
No one was posting the gif of Alan Rickman falling in Die Hard, where he was super scared to do the stunt, and they're like, it's okay, we'll count down from three. But they wanted a genuine reaction, so they dropped him on one. And his face is amazing.
And in addition to playing a lot of League of Legends and getting all that ready to go, haven't actually gotten a chance to play the new Champion Select, which makes me a little sad, but I'll get my chance to get at it anyway.
The new Champion Select?
They're changing how their Champion Select system works.
Really? That's actually kind of a weird choice, because I feel like it was actually a pretty good system. So.
Yeah, but people complained, because that's what people do. And Riot's like, well, we can't give them replays or a sandbox mode or things they want. Let's give them a new Champion Select.
Well, they are giving people a new client this year.
We'll see.
They have said they're giving a new client this year.
They said we had replays 3 years ago today.
I was thinking about this in an abstract manner, and I can actually see what their problem with replays is, because they have to store all that space for replays.
Yeah, like, the thing is, they keep saying, oh yeah, we're going to do it soon. It's totally going to happen.
Well, Tyler,
I can see why they haven't. I don't know why they keep promising they're going to.
They haven't. They have not continued promising they're going to.
Yeah, they said, no, we're not doing that. Go away.
Like, for instance, StarCraft 2 actually stores them on your computer. There's a file for it.
Yeah, so that would make more sense to me.
But on top of League, I ended up uninstalling Plays.tv, which was my recorder, because it was recording really choppy.
Not really sure why it started doing that.
Yeah, so that's weird because it was working like perfectly a little while ago.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know why it stopped. I uninstalled it. I'm trying something different, which is an online thing that just pulls data from Riot's Spectator client.
Okay, so it like watches you in spectator mode as you play, basically.
Mm-hmm. So that's actually cool. More useful for using it to improve.
Is this a random batch file you were asking me about little while ago?
They operate on the batch file thing, which is
previously
why
on the
I was
batch
curious.
File.
I've been playing a lot of Dirt 3, which I bought over the Steam sale. It's a rally game, which I've talked about, I think, on an earlier episode when I was actually playing it on my 360, because I own it on that. But the one that I got on the PC includes all the downloadable content, which I didn't necessarily have on my 360, and it was only $7, so I was like, what the hell?
That's a pretty good price.
I'll get it, and I'll give Tyler one, because why the hell not?
That's why you stay away from Steam between Christmas and Valentine's.
Oh, man, I forget. Well, I mean, you need that awesome game that's only 50 cents, so.
I still haven't played Undertale or about 50 other games I own on Steam, so I don't need more Steam games until I play Undertale.
I'm not overly concerned about it. I mean, I enjoy the game in general, so, I mean, I bought XCOM 2 on Steam the other day.
Is it out already?
No, it releases in February.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought.
I just got a couple of pre-orders because they came with extra stuff that I liked.
Gotcha.
Like, I pre-ordered Overwatch as well.
Oh, yeah. Good choice.
So I get a skin for Reaper, Soldier 76, Tracer, Bastion.
I'm actually really excited about Overwatch.
Widow.
I don't know that I'm actually going to play it, but I might actually watch a couple games of it before deciding that I don't like watching it. So,
well, you like Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, I do like TF2 quite a bit, actually.
Then you might actually like Overwatch, because I've heard people talk about how it plays very similarly. Having not played Team Fortress 2, I can't tell you. But I know that I really enjoy it. Having played games with you, I would reasonably say you would probably enjoy it.
Even if I'm not very good at it?
I'm not very good at it either. And the PC version, which obviously you would be able to run because my computer can run it, is only $40.
That's not terrible.
The edition I got was $60 because it came with a whole bunch of other stuff with it.
That's like the very upper end of my willingness to pay for a game anymore. So
it's $40?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I got Splatoon when it first came out, and that was a little painful.
I'm going to declare, having played the beta once, that Overwatch is better than Splatoon.
That's fair.
I feel no compunction to say otherwise. And not even out yet. Yay! I think I would have said the same thing about Titanfall. I played it for a week and stopped. Not sure how to feel about that. But we will see. I hope you pick up Overwatch, because I would really like to have a friend to play with. But
I might.
Whatever. Jeremy, so that's been me. What have you been playing?
Not games
you
gotta
go back to work and remember how bad kids are.
Yeah.
It's the hours way more than the kids.
Occasionally,
the idiot was. I was like, yeah, I should have a job where I have to be at work at 7 every day, no matter what. That should be what my life is.
See, I occasionally think, you know, I should go get my teaching certificate and do all that. Then I realize, you know, if I was a teacher, I'd have to deal with children and teenagers.
The hours are so
much
worse.
I'm perfectly fine with my data entry job since I don't have to deal with children or teenagers.
We call that ambition. And I haven't been playing Nobunaga's Ambition. Pretty much just been playing Pokemon and the assignment and the secret future assignment. Not even much to report in Pokemon. I beat Norman, aka my dad. They changed up that gym quite a bit.
Oh, really? You're still playing Alpha Omega Ruby.
Yeah, I forgot that he was one of he has like a Slakoth and a Slaking. Yeah.
And a Vigoroth.
But he has like people in his gym in this version instead of just hanging out alone.
Okay.
They all use items on their Pokemon.
No, those assholes.
No, I remember in Emerald at least there were other people in the gym.
I remember you just go and he's just standing there alone being like, I am your father. And like, yes.
No, I totally remember going through a couple of people in there and being like, the boss said just because, you know, you're his kid doesn't mean we're supposed to go easy on you.
Maybe they changed it for Emerald. Because I definitely don't remember.
I never played Sapphire or Ruby, but I distinctly remember there being people in there in Emerald.
I also can't remember either way, but I do remember his Vigoroth kicking my ass, so.
Well, that's okay. I have the XP share and a Metang.
Yeah, or like any rock, ghost, or metal type, I feel would just win that fight.
Metang is is the Metagross, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The thing right before it?
I think that's all I've been playing, actually.
Oh, so, fun fact, as I was making show notes for the Ruby Sapphire episode, we were talking about Duskulls, and Dusknars, and Dusklopses.
Yeah.
Dusknar, I think they added in 4th gen, apparently.
Yeah, they added the last one later.
Because I didn't even know that Pokemon. So I learned something today. So I guess it was yesterday. So.
All right. So speaking of yesterday, today, and the future.
2010. The future.
Yes. Our assignment for this week was Street Fighter 2010, The Final Fight, if you're in America.
I don't
because
remember.
Because Capcom hates all of their franchises.
I don't remember 2010 looking like this.
Didn't you watch the Angry Video Game Nerd review and have, like, nostalgia and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, those missiles and those weird, like, floaty things and the scorpion guy.
Yeah, those are all over New York.
No, not really. I just thought back and went, I don't remember 2010 looking like that.
Well,
I don't remember driving to college through all that.
This game is 26 years old, the game we played.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why that's right. It's not the oldest game we've played.
No,
This is a good example of why you never name something by a date you're going to reach.
Well, I mean, Capcom was probably not expecting to exist that long at this point.
No, that's why you put it in, like, the year 3010. Or, you know,
well, they
3000
needed Ken to still be alive, so.
So, yeah, Street Fighter 2010 is kind of the second Street Fighter game. Final Fight, which we haven't played, was going to be the second Street Fighter game, which made sense. It had fights on streets. So I was like, no, this has nothing to do with Street Fighter. Let's call it something else. So they did. And then they made Street Fighter 2010, which has nothing to do with Street Fighter. And in America, they added the subtitle, The Final Fight.
And it has more to do with Final Fight than it does with Street Fighter, I think. But
so the story is Ken, or Kevin, if you play the not American version. But we didn't do that. So Ken had no interest in the frontier until his partner Troy got turned into goo, so he got cyborg parts and decided to fight everyone.
Well, I love how it starts with a bit of backstory.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, thanks, game. I needed that.
That was incredibly important.
Can you imagine how much worse A New Hope would be with just a bit of backstory before?
Just the cliff notes.
But
although, the new additions for 4, 5, and 6, new additions for episode 4, should totally begin with the cliff notes for the other three movies, so you don't have to watch them.
Although, do they really impact?
I kind of think Machete Order might be fun to watch things in, if you're familiar with that.
Machete Order?
Machete Order says you should watch A New Hope first, and then Empire Strikes Back, and then watch Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, like their flashbacks. Because
okay.
That makes the Emperor seem imposing when he shows up in the third. And it adds tension when Luke shows up wearing all black, being an asshole, at Jabba's Palace, instead of Jabba's Palace being the most boring thing that ever happened in Star
Wars,
including Dagobah and Tatooine.
So when are you supposed to watch episode 1?
Never. Why would you do that?
Just thought I'd ask.
I actually,
when you're forced by some sort of demon to watch every Liam Neeson movie.
You know, back on to the game, I think it would have probably been better if they hadn't changed the guy's name to Ken.
Yeah.
That way you make a clean break with all Street Fighter games. Because you clearly already hate your franchise, and it gives you a character for a later game.
Only a fighter with the expertise of a world-renowned Street Fighter can punch people in the face through time and space.
So why is he not named Ryu?
Because Ryu's dead, clearly.
Also, he's blonde. Like I said earlier,
Ryu could have dyed his hair.
That's for the American version. In the Japanese version, his name is Kevin, and he is the original character, because it doesn't make any sense for Ken to be in this game. But in America, for some reason, they're like, no,
he's a scientist now.
To the franchise.
And also, he's a cyborg scientist.
Yeah, like Zach said, it doesn't make any sense. And it really has nothing to do with Street Fighter, which may be this game's biggest flaw, although it also might attract people who are like, I've never heard of this game, now that it's available for purchase again. So maybe that's good.
I feel like that was actually their reason for tying it in with that franchise in the first place. Is like, we've got brand power. Let's use that.
I actually think it's more like we talk about Mario 2 and Castlevania 2 and Zelda 2, how they're radically, radically different. I think it's just that. This is a little late. This game came out in 1990, but it's still kind of early and people don't really know what video game sequels are supposed to be.
That's true.
And on the console, this was developed for the NES, where Street Fighter was an arcade game. Capcom's only real success at that point was Mega Man. They didn't have the Disney license yet.
Did they not get the manual for how to make a video game sequel? I feel as though Sega had it.
Sega didn't even have the Genesis out at this point.
Well, theoretically, they had the Master System.
They did have the Master System. Hey, fun fact, you can still buy a brand new Sega Genesis in Brazil.
What?
They still produce them.
Well, although that Brazil was largely the reason that we were still producing PS2s for so long, so.
But if they were buying PS2s, why can you still buy a brand new Genesis?
Because people like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Because Sega still has a grip on that market. It's weird. Sega did a bunch of stuff, so it's super, super expensive to import video games in Brazil. It's about $160 for a new game, U.S.
Holy crap.
Because of tariffs.
Jeez.
I mean, that's worse than Australia.
Yeah.
Especially since you make more in Australia, and also it's less money overall, so.
Holy crap.
So anyway, that's what 2010 is like. You can buy a Sega Genesis in Brazil.
And also play FIFA 2010.
So speaking of Mega Man, this game has kind of a Mega Man look. It's very futuristic, although it also has some like H.R. Giger stuff. It seems like they let their art team go really crazy with it.
That's true.
And while the graphics occasionally cause some of that slowdown like in Mega Man 3, which sucks, it looks really, really good for an NES game. I'd almost say the best looking NES game we've ever played. Kirby's Adventures probably looks a little better, but not by much.
Yeah, especially that second level. I only know that because I spent so much time there. It actually looks like there's so much going on in the background of that.
It's an NES game?
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought it was a Super Nintendo game, actually.
It kind of looks like one, like a bad one, but...
Well, that's what I had assumed. I'd assumed it was just a bad NES or Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, I actually thought it was going to be Super Nintendo, and then I went to go find it. I'm like, nope, that's an NES.
Also, you guys didn't get very far, but like, the game keeps putting you in new environments and keeps throwing crazy new things at you, which is refreshing. They will occasionally reuse old enemies. There's even one level that you fight two different enemies on, and they like are separated by like you fight there when you get to the planet, and then the final battle on that planet is there. But they're constantly throwing new things at you. There's streets, unlike the old Street Fighter games. There's like a beanstalk planet. There's a desert planet. Literally. There's a weird floating eyeball that you have to jump on the tiers of.
Well, that's very strange. That actually is important for a lot of games like this, where you have to have those additional environments. So it's good that they actually realize that. But then again, these guys also made Mega Man, like you said.
Which is also very good graphics-wise on the NES.
And they also did a lot of the additional worlds. This one's just set up in more of a linear fashion as opposed to Mega Man's different man's stages. Although, because each level begins with, you know, Target versus Ken.
Which is weird.
It's very strange. I'm confused as to why they didn't just put a man's thing, like the man's menu, like they did with Mega Man.
To be fair, there is actually a difficulty progression in this game. The first level is way easier than the second level, which is way easier than the third level. I don't know that there's any particular Mega Man stage in the first Mega Man of the first four you can choose that are actually harder than the others.
I mean, there's definitely, I feel like, easier ones, but that mostly has to do, are you good at platforming or are you good at the combat?
Neither.
And I feel like this game is hard enough that it is really important to give players rewards when they complete levels, so knowing they're going to see something new and weird is a pretty decent reward.
I would have preferred more punching ability at the end of a level.
It is something that some current developers haven't quite figured out, that we want to see additional stuff when we win a level.
Wait, you don't want to see more gunmetal or brown?
So Zach alluded to every level begins with saying Target versus Ken. And it's weird that they call them all Target, but then you just see a vision of the boss of the level you're going to beat. And a lot of them, that's what the entire level is. Including the first one, you're just kind of in an alley with some columns for you to climb on and practice the controls and some things to break to get power-ups, and a flying scorpion shows up and you have to fight it.
Also, there are some, like, Ken-seeking missiles, so...
That's probably the most common enemy is the Ken-seeking missile. Which can, those also look and act really cool, I think, because they turn at a...
45 degrees at a time.
Yeah.
It seems like an oddly specific weapon.
They knew we were coming.
What if you're facing off against a guy named Ralph? A Ken-seeking missile won't help you.
It might just be a human-seeking missile, because you are the only human.
No, it's like Merrick in Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged series, where you can only control people named Steve. So he makes you sign a contract legally changing your name to Steve.
Is that really something that he does?
Well, no, in the Abridged series.
Oh,
not
okay.
In the real series.
He gets Joey to sign a contract, and he's like, yes, your name is Steve now.
You wanted to talk about the enemies, though, so...
I did, mostly... How do I want to start this? Okay, so my biggest problem, or I guess the place I first notice it, is on the second level, there isn't really a stage to move through. You're in, like, a box facing off against an enemy. My biggest problem with the enemies is that at least the first boss did. The second one didn't really telegraph his movements at all.
Yeah, that's a problem with the second and third boss in particular. And
okay.
They don't all do great, but
like the
some
first
of them
boss
are definitely better
good.
Than others.
I'm not a big
2D side-scrolling boss fighter guy.
I don't could have probably been phrased much better.
But no episode title.
Awesome sauce. But isn't the fact that they have patterns and telegraph their attacks incredibly important to actually being able to beat that boss without taking damage?
Yeah, and that's my biggest problem with the enemies overall, is like the bosses, at least the ones that I manage to get to, don't really have a predictable pattern. Like, there are things he would do at certain distances from me, but which one he would do, it like really mattered, and he did not telegraph, like, it was not obvious which one he was going to do. I
mean, conversely, though, the way you make a good boss is you make them seem overwhelming until you figure out where the place you need to stand is or what the telegraph is.
The problem is he doesn't have a telegraph. Like, none of the bosses take...
The second one with the grappling hook does. It's just really subtle. Because I can beat him without taking a hit.
How the hell?
You jump when he's going to swing and you...
Well, yeah, but my problem is occasionally he'll do just like a horizontal attack instead of swinging.
It's a subtle tell, and so it has more to do with his rhythm than...
I'll take your word for it, because I cannot figure this guy out.
The third boss who just throws boxes, I can't figure him out, so...
Well, that one you just face tank. I mean, clearly. I just had too much damage at that point, and I was already fed up with the game by the time I got to him.
But something we're...
That's how I beat every boss.
Something we need to talk about, because we haven't yet, is the first two levels are basically just the boss.
Yep.
They're all scrolling parts in this game and platforming parts, but a lot of them, like a Street Fighter game, are just, you need to fight this.
I actually really like the first level of this game. It's like, look at all these cool movement mechanics you get, and you can cling to stuff and ninja jump off of stuff, and then the second level is, nope, you get walls. That's it.
Also, all the levels are really short, and I don't know if that's because the graphics are so intense you can only fit a little bit, or if it's because they're so dense and hard they mercifully made them short. It might be they lucked into the ladder thanks to the farmer.
Probably a little bit of both.
So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume it's the latter, but...
I normally don't give people the benefit of the doubt, and I think it's just a combination of them. So that's about as close to the benefit of the doubt I'm giving them.
The last thing I wanted to mention about the enemies really quick is lack of, like, they don't take hit stun.
That's kind of annoying. That's true. You can definitely tell when you're hitting them, though.
Yeah, no,
so that's good.
And that's hit feedback. It does not...
But, yeah, they don't go flying back when they're...
So if you commit to the wrong attack at the wrong moment, you're definitely going to take a counterattack.
But that's also like a Street Fighter game, actually.
That's true.
More the later ones than the first one, but...
I thought only, like, real light attacks in most Street Fighter games didn't cause recoil.
Now, all attacks in Street Fighter games cause recoil unless you block them.
Well,
so.
What I meant is if you commit to the wrong attack in a fighting game.
Yeah. No, I saw where you're going with that. Although, that's partially because fighting games are about reading your opponent. My problem is I can't read my opponents in this, so.
Because they're computers?
That explains why I'm so bad at them.
Smash is probably the readiest fighting game because... Like, Street Fighter and stuff is, there's a lot of technical stuff, like if you can land a hit, you can follow up with a combo. Smash, there aren't a lot of combos, it's mostly about knowing how your opponent's going to react to your movement.
That's why I play Ike, because I can luck into knocking somebody off.
So, in Splatoon, there's one of the sub-weapons is a sprinkler that's just like a thing that sits there and sprays ink while you're not there. The thing I have noticed most, especially about high-ranked players, is that people will just stop to attack the sprinkler. So you can just sit there and wait underneath your sprinkler for people to start shooting it and then kill them while they're attacking your sprinkler. Anyway.
So, like a fighting game, let's talk about your moveset, because it's pretty unique, especially for an NES game. You can do a lot.
Yeah,
it's pretty one-dimensional, but you can do it in a lot of ways. All of your punches, which is B like you'd expect, shoot a little, like, energy blast a little bit past your fist.
I was going to say they throw Altered Beast-style energy waves.
It does look kind of cool, but...
You can also...
I was going to say something else about it, but then I realized I didn't really have anything else to say there. It does look kind of cool, and it actually is fairly intuitive. You know that little bubble that leaves your fist will deal damage. It's not just a cosmetic thing.
You can also shoot up, like in Metroid. If you hit down, you shoot diagonally up with a kick, and if you hit forward, you do haymakers that have slightly longer range.
They all have slightly different damage. Your jumping attack is just like a single hit.
You can only pop off one shot in the air, but it's more powerful than a ground shot.
The kick, when you first start doing it, feels counterintuitive.
Because you're pressing down to attack up.
Because you're pressing down to attack up. But I mean, it's actually really easy to get used to.
Maybe
like,
it's
the
flight sim thing. That doesn't seem too counterintuitive to me.
Well, when in these kind of games, usually if you're trying to crouch, you're attacking low, not
that's
high.
That's true.
The first couple times, I really wanted it to be a crouch attack because those missiles got slightly under my attack range.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of enemies that you need to attack low, but the ones on the first level are one of them, so that makes sense.
But I figured out how to avoid it. So.
You also have a backflip, and you can shoot down from it. It's pretty hard to do, so that's your only low attack.
I wish they'd made the backflip a little easier to do, because I couldn't figure it out. Apparently, there's actually kind of a trick to making it go off.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's not hard to do. It's hard to figure out how you do it.
So I really wanted it to be like the double dragon knee, where you just press both buttons at the same time.
Yeah, I can see that.
That does nothing, by the way.
Also, you have power-ups in this game. And basically every two increases your range, which can be super important. Especially, it makes most boss fights way easier. And this game doesn't have the power-up problem nearly as bad as Gradius, because every level is clearly designed to be able to beat it without power-ups. But it's one of those games where if you got good, it's not hard to speedrun, because when you're at max power, you're so much more powerful than when you're not. A bunch of bosses you can just beat instantly if you have the max range.
Do you have to die to lose your power-up?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you don't just lose your power by getting hit.
No. Yeah, people have said that, and I don't know why, because I tested that, because that's something that, like, the Angry Video Nerd Review says that, and also a walkthrough I looked at one point said that. And I'm pretty sure that's not true, and I deliberately tried to get hit.
The version I played, which may or may not have been a ROM of the original, definitely you kept your power up until you died. So.
Yeah, same. And I played it on the Wii U, and I have memories of playing as a kid. You don't lose your power up.
That's very interesting that they would say that, then. Maybe they encountered a bug, but that's one heck of a common bug.
Well, I feel like it's probably an oversight on their part. Maybe they just
This game is so hard, they just feel like that happens.
Maybe it was because every time they got hit multiple times and died.
So let's talk about how hard this game is. It has a life meter. It's not like a Mario. You get 5 hits, and enemies will randomly drop health, so.
And they can drop either a half a health increment or a full health increment.
I mean, it's pretty forgiving in that respect.
Also, there's a time limit, which kind of sucks sometimes, but it doesn't kill you often.
Having watched a couple of people play, it seems like the later levels, really start to bump into that time limit.
It's just the last level. The last level is awful, and there are a few bosses where you can do, like, strategies where you cling to a wall and just hope they come near you, and those strategies are pretty much defeated by the time limit, but that's fair. Street Fighter had a time limit.
So I'm not a fan of time limits in general, but... I mean, I understand their place, I just don't care for them.
The only time I actually ran into the time limit is after you beat a boss, a portal opens, and you have to jump into it within 10 seconds to move on to the next level. I got beaten by the time limit on that one on the first level because I wanted to go finish getting all the power-ups, and I didn't notice that it decreased my time so much, and then I died. So,
yeah.
Cool story.
It is kind of cool, it adds a tension after you beat the boss, where you're like, oh my god, I'm so close, I just have to hit the portal.
Well, in that backstory where they're like, oh, by the way, the portals are open automatically after you gain enough energy. I'm like, why? That's a terrible idea. Why would you ever do that?
Well, it's like another video game's blast doors or security doors closing when there's a threat in the room. Heaven forbid the people who are in that room need to get out of that room because it's the threat they're now stuck in the room with.
So while the game has plenty of challenges, I also think it's incredibly fair. Like we said earlier, levels are short, so even though they don't have checkpoints, that's not really a problem. And when you die, you just go to the beginning of the level. You can get a game over, but I think they're kind of pointless, because a game over sends you back to the same place, whereas if you just lost a life...
Can. You have the option to end the game there, and I did that a couple times to go back to the first level to get power-ups for the second boss.
Yeah.
My biggest problem is that I could never consistently figure out how to not take a hit. So, and that apparently is more failing on me than anything, because...
It's definitely hard. I didn't say... It's good game design, but it's definitely possible.
I don't know. I'm terrible at these kind of games, so I didn't even manage to beat the first boss.
Like, I hesitate calling them bosses because they're, like, not necessarily bosses, but...
I get what you mean. Enemy? Target?
Yeah. The second target, I just could not figure... If he has a pattern, I could not figure it out. So it felt really cheap to me that I was constantly... Every time I took a hit, I had a random chance of taking a counter hit, so...
Well, just backtracking a little bit, you said how much you liked the first level. I actually think that's a great game design.
Oh, yeah.
Because they give you a flying enemy, which forces you to experiment and find your aerial attacks.
And then you have to use the awesome platforming things that they have in this game. Yeah. I like these way better than Strider's platform or cling
basically,
to walls.
Basically, you cling on walls by hitting A a second time when you jump at them, and then you can climb up and down them.
And you can do sweet backflips. You feel really mobile when you have the option to move around like that.
So also, speaking of Ninja Gaiden, which we were talking about Strider. But one way this game compares to Ninja Gaiden to me, in addition to clinging to walls, is the story is told in a very similar way, with cutscenes have text over them, and, you know, little visuals. But that's not right. Just still images with text over them, I guess.
Yeah. Picture book.
That's not what I was going for either.
Like a JRPG.
Sure. Like a dating sim.
Yeah.
The story is kind of terrible, whether you're looking at the original or the American version, but it is ambitious for an NES game, where most of the story is in the manual and that's it most of the time.
Yeah, this, it actually tries to tell you the story in the game, which, once I realized I was playing an NES game, was actually kind of impressive. You have, like, a coordinator, I don't even know if she has a name. She is remarkably well animated for an NES sprite, so.
Alright, so Tyler, you said you didn't like this game, but it sounds like you're being pretty positive, maybe because I'm dominating the conversation. So if you'd like to talk about what you didn't like.
Now, my biggest problem is that I felt like the levels had no predictable pattern to them.
And
so,
like the second and third bosses, I talked about how great the first level is. Second and third levels could probably use some work, and particularly the bosses. I think the third, like, scrolling part of the level is fine.
Yeah,
but
it was okay. My biggest problem is that the actual enemies that you need to fight, and I feel, again, like, or I say this about a lot of games, I feel that you were ill-equipped for the challenges you're facing, but...
See, I don't in this, because you have so many moves, and it's usually about finding which one you need to use.
Yeah, and they all feel the same to me. Some of them definitely do more damage, I noticed, but...
I kind of agree with Tyler.
It's more about attack arc than damage.
Yeah, that's true. But like I said, like, I pounded away at the second boss forever and could not figure out a way to be... I got lucky eventually, and that's how I got to the third level, so... I don't know. It did not feel exceptionally fair, but maybe I didn't... I don't know, I gave it like an hour, so...
Yeah, I definitely gave it longer, in part because of nostalgia, but also I pretty quickly got to the part I remember, like, I would get stuck on as a kid, and then I was able to beat that.
So, I may have to go back and play it. It's still not very highly rated in my head, so...
Alright, I want to compare this to Mega Man, but we can just do that when we rank it, so before then, any final thoughts? I think this game is really underrated. It is NES hard, so don't play it if you don't want a hard game. But it's fair, it looks really good. It does have some slowdown processor issues, but not nearly as bad as some other games we've played. And that's usually only for a couple seconds at a time.
My biggest thing to say in favor of this is that for a game that is this hard, is it does not penalize you very much for losing a life. You don't lose a lot of progress when that happens. As opposed to Mario, where if you get a game over, you just go back to the beginning of the game.
Alright, so we have a list at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. Listing all the games we've played for this project from best to worst. At best is Chrono Trigger, a game that also takes place in the future. At the bottom is Golden Axe, a game that's also too hard for its own good. In the middle is Crazy Taxi.
I feel like that continues, like, I feel like we always add something on either side of that.
Well, it was Excite Bike for a while, so it's moved one down.
Well, given that we're adding one instead of multiples at a time... It's going to stay fairly static what's in the middle.
That's true.
So I said we'd compare this to Mega Man, but first I think it only fair that we compare this to the first Street Fighter game, Fighting Street. And I think it's way, way better than Fighting Street was.
Certainly more ambitious, that's for sure.
I think there's a lot more going on in this game, if nothing else. The first Fighting Street was an archetype or a prototype for what would eventually be a much better game. So
with that out of the way, let's jump up. Let's compare it to Mega Man 3. Since that's the lowest one we have, I actually think it's better than Mega Man 3. Mega Man 3 has worse slowdowns. The mans aren't very inventive. You do have the cool Mega Man thing where you get more powers as you play the game, which this game doesn't really have. Mega Man's also easier and perhaps a bit more colorful, but I actually really like the art in this game. I really like the way it plays. I think I prefer this to Mega Man 3.
I would argue that Mega Man 3... looks better, even though it occasionally has graphical slowdowns, and that the levels have a lot more content in them.
That's true. They're
although,
much bigger levels.
As you said, though, the shorter levels in this game had actually worked to its favor, so...
Occasionally has slowdowns?
Occasionally, yeah.
Frequently would be the word I would use. I didn't notice any slowdowns, but I didn't get that far in this game, so, I mean...
That happened a lot when you do the backflip, I find.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if the backflip animation just...
stresses the processor for some reason.
There were a couple times where he had two Ken-seeking missiles on screen, and having, like, destroying both of them simultaneously would cause it to slow down a bit, but...
It's usually more for when effects are on screen than when too many enemies are on screen.
That doesn't sound like how bad you get in Mega Man 3.
No, Mega Man 3 had way worse slowdown. In fact, I don't even consider this game to... I mean, I experienced it, but it's nothing compared to Mega Man 3.
I didn't notice it, so if I had it happen, I didn't notice, which is... actually, fine, if you're going to have some kind of problems, make sure you cover it up well enough that the player doesn't feel it.
So Jeremy and I have conflicting opinions on this. So Zach, tiebreaker.
I don't like either game, but I'd have to I have to say the fact that the technical issues are not nearly as bad for this game make it better than Mega Man 3.
So this game is going to go abnormally high. For the record, and I do not agree with this, but this is the list. This is the deal with the devil we've made. This will put Street Fighter 2010 above Street Fighter 2.
What?
I might be okay with that, honestly.
I think that means Mega Man 3 is way too high.
I don't like Street Fighter 2 very much, so.
Yeah. I think I just like Street Fighter 2 way more than you two.
It also well, goes I will guarantee above, you that.
All right, so right above that is Mega Man for... actually, we'll go up. We'll go up and have Mega Man 2 crush it before we do that.
Yeah, no, there's no yeah. argument.
Mega Man 2 has the building and the music and...
Do we really have to compare it?
I mean, we are already, so...
Yes. I mean, it seems like we pretty much...
There's no
it,
comparison.
Worse, yeah.
Yeah, Mega Man 2 is a fantastic game. I
preferred the X game.
Yeah, Mega Man X
is
great,
but... Mega Man 2. But Mega Man X is also above Mega Man 2, so... I didn't say let's compare it to Mega Man X. I didn't go that far.
Let's compare it to Chrono Trigger. How does this game compare to...
Clearly favorably. It should be on top.
And portals in both. All right, so do we want to compare it to Mega Man for Game Boy or Mega Man, the original?
I think it stacks up poorly to both.
Say, I honestly think I prefer both of the Mega Mans to...
Okay, so should we just put it between Mega Man for Game Boy and Mega Man 3?
Are they right next to each
they
other?
Are. Mega Man for Game Boy is right above Mega Man 3.
I
would
have
it go right there.
Yes.
Okay.
So I would have it go below Mega Man 3, but I was already out-argued on that issue, so...
Argued...
So, Street Fighter 2010 goes at number 31.
Outvoted...
As we said, directly under Mega Man, or for Game Boy, and directly above Mega Man 3.
Forced into Jeremy's basement.
Do you guys watch CinemaSins ever?
Occasionally.
The final rating they give stuff. Final verdict. Forced into Jeremy's basement.
Having gone through the future and the final fight, not that final fight, the other final fight.
Are there
what
any
are we playing
fights
next?
That come after?
Well, we need something quick so that we can record quickly, and you said the word fight. So I'm going to say we're going to play Balloon Fight.
Oh, not Balloon Challenge or
no,
Balloon
no.
Face-Off?
I actually kind of want to play Pinball, but we just played Pokemon Pinball. And Satoru Iwata also programmed Balloon Fight, so...
Okay, close enough. That sounds appropriate.
It's a Joust clone.
Yep, it totally is. Didn't even occur to me. Except it has no ostriches.
It's sad. So, next time on Last Time, he stole my balloons! Why didn't someone tell me he had one of... those!
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.
I was trying to come up with a like pun portmanteau of Zach and Sneeze, and it just wasn't
Sneeze!